Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTVStrengthCoach.com and welcome to another edition of the MTV Strength Coach podcast. Today, I actually, this podcast is inspired by an email that I was recently sent, and I'm just going to kind of go through the, you know, kind of how the email exchange unfolded and kind of some of my thoughts on it. But basically, I was contacted by a guy who actually isn't that into mountain biking, but had read an article that I'd written on unilateral training and, you know, just making some arguments for the inclusion of unilateral training and how it may actually, you know, benefit us in ways and in more sport-specific ways than just concentrating on bilateral training. So, for example, bilateral training would be like, you know, a two-legged exercise, like a squat versus a unilateral training exercise would be like a, you know, a single leg squat or a pistol squat. And so, anyways, the guy contacted me and rightfully pointed out he was trying in his mind to figure out, like, prove to himself, if you will, that unilateral training was indeed better than bilateral training. And so he contacted me and he had a math quiz that he'd put together and basically said, well, if you can, you know, let's say, you know, do a overhead press with 100 pounds for 10 reps, you know, with both arms at the same time, you've basically done 1,000 pounds worth of work. You know, every rep you've done is 100 pounds, so 100 times 10 gives you 1,000 pounds of work. And so, you know, let's just say for argument's sake, it takes 40 seconds to complete that, that move. And so, if you break that down per second, you're putting about 25 pounds per second of stress on your system, not just your muscles, but also your heart, your lungs, your nervous system, things like that. And since stress is an important thing for, you know, getting results and getting stronger, then, you know, this is kind of an indicator of, you know, how much stress you're putting and just kind of, you know, gives you an idea of, like, what kind of effect this exercise is having on your body. And so, anyways, he rightfully pointed out that, well, if you do that even one arm, you know, let's say you're even stronger than half, so, you know, you can actually do 60-pound shoulder press, and you do one arm for 10 reps, and, you know, that takes you 40 seconds. Well, you're actually only doing about 15 pounds per second's worth of stress on the body. That's 10 pounds less. And so his question was basically, you know, how can unilateral training be better if bilateral training mathematically puts more stress on your system? And so I basically, you know, told him that, you know, I understand kind of our need, you know, your need to want to prove to yourself that, you know, one training system is better than the other, and trying to use like some sort of math equation or study or something to back that up. But, you know, that you never can really prove anything with a math equation. You know, the reason that you need to keep bilateral training in your system, like, you know, my article, I never said that you don't need bilateral training. I just said that I don't think that you'll get as good a results from just working on bilateral movements. You need to incorporate unilateral movements. And one of the reasons you do need bilateral training is because that you do need to expose your body to stress. So that's why my programs do have you do, you know, like regular deadlifts as well as single leg deadlifts and stuff like that. And so, you know, I just said, in my opinion, I think that unilateral work, you know, should represent, you know, up to 50 to 80% of an athlete's strength training volume, because it is more specific to creating athletic movement. You know, you do move one arm, one limb at a time, you know, kind of independent of the other one. You know, unilateral training does recruit muscles that don't get activated during bilateral exercises, and it allows you to expose your body to, you know, difficult exercises without a whole lot of excessive load. And so I just said, in my experience, this works best for long-term development. And so, you know, I thought I did kind of a pretty good job of kind of explaining my point of view, but I don't know if I really did, because he came back and basically his answer was, you know, he's going to assume that there's little to no testing or research that's been done, because I guess he's, you know, emailed several people, and the answer is almost exactly like mine. You know, basically plenty of, you know, anecdotal evidence, but no studies or math to back up the claim that unilateral training beats bilateral training. And so, you know, he said, you know, he said he can feel, like he thinks, you know, he can feel a big difference in doing like a one-arm shoulder press versus a, you know, a military press in just as far as like the muscle retreatment. But, you know, he's kind of stuck on trying to prove it to himself. And so, again, you know, I emailed him back and just kind of reiterate, maybe go into a little bit better explanation of some of these points. And this is where people get in trouble, is when they're trying to prove the superiority of one method over another. And, you know, I think that that is a misunderstanding of the art of training, because you're never going to prove that one method's better than another, because it's all within the context that you're talking about. You know, each method, each training method, you know, out there, it has a result that it produces. So everything from using, like, you know, bilateral exercises to standing on wobble boards to, you know, using water resistance to whatever, any sort of method that you can think of, there's a specific result that that method produces. There's nothing magical about that specific method. It just, it produces a result. And so by understanding how to interplay several methods, can you achieve the best results? And so when you get stuck on trying to you know, say that one thing is the way, that one thing is the only, is the best way to train, you kind of box your thinking in a little bit. And so, you know, for example, the math equation, again, that he used, it doesn't prove that bilateral training is more effective than unilateral training. All it shows us is that it does place a greater stress on the body. So that's both its strength and its weakness. Because if you just have continual exposure to maximum stress on the body, you will break it down. So if you say that, well, you know, stress is important, and so I'm going to only use this method because it places the greatest stress on the body, well, the fact that our body has to recover in order to see results, you know, it doesn't take that into account. It's not just a matter of piling stress on the body. It's a matter of piling just enough stress on the body to elicit a training result. And so if you take unilateral exercises out of the equation, just based simply on the fact that they don't, you know, expose the body to as much stress per se, then you make it hard to continually challenge your body without eventually breaking it down. Because by using those unilateral exercises, they challenge your body in unique ways, and they continue to allow you to make progress while also, you know, backing off the training load and actually allowing your body to recover from some of the heavier training loads, so you can continue to see results without just breaking your body down, you know, over the long run. So again, you know, that's both the strength and the weakness of bilateral training, the fact that it exposes your body to more stress. So, you know, again, you also have to look at how are you trying to prove the superiority of this method, you know? Are you looking at increases in strength? Are you looking at increases in muscle mass, increases in power, you know, higher vertical jump? Or are you looking at decreases in injury? Some would say that that would be a superior way to train. If you could find a way that allows you to even maintain results while greatly decreasing injuries, some would argue that that proves that that's a superior training method. And so again, you know, a study or an equation may point you in a direction as it relates to one of those outcomes that I just talked about, but it's not going to tell you everything you need to know in order to design a successful long-term program. So again, you know, you don't want to let your way of thinking get boxed in by getting hung up on a specific training method. And so anyways, I ended the email to him with two sayings that I think are really just great ways to look at not just training but life as well. And the first is that, you know, methods are many and principles are few. And don't confuse the two. And a lot of times we do. Like, bilateral training is a method. It's not a principle. Understanding how to apply bilateral training to good training principles, that's what you want to do. So you want to seek to understand these principles and then learn how to apply specific methods to those principles in order to get the results you're looking for. And the second saying is, beware the man of one way. You know, basically, if you're trying to prove the superiority of one great training method over another great training method, it will only box your thought process in. And so, obviously, if you're going to try to argue that, you know, something like standing on a Bosu ball with a pink dumbbell is superior to, you know, doing squats, you know, I'll have that argument with you. But if you're going to try to argue with me that squats are better than single leg squats, I can't have that debate, because again, you're trying to prove one great thing is better than another great thing, and that just boxes your thought process in. Both methods are great. So again, what you want to do is seek to better understand when and how to apply those methods, not try to prove that one is better than the other. And so again, you know, it's a result of our Western mindset that we want to explain and understand everything, but realistically, training is an art and a process. It's not an equation or a prescription. So, you know, you're never going to find the answers you seek if you're trying to prove that one method is more effective than the other, because those answers they're not out there. And so again, you know, if you're looking, you know, for a better understanding of training and stuff like that, then again, it's just better look to seek to, you know, understand the principles better and learn these methods and just kind of understand what kind of outcome they have and think about that. And so anyway, so that was, you know, pretty much it, just kind of my thoughts on trying to prove one method being better than the other. That's why, you know, my programs utilize a lot of different things. I mean, I use a lot of different sources for inspiration, because you get too hung up in one way and one paradigm of thinking, and you end up leaving a lot of stuff on the table. And so, so I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, gave you some fuel for thought. Definitely keep the questions coming in. As you can see, they definitely, you know, serve as inspiration for me on these podcasts. So James@mtbstrengthcoach.com. If you got a question or something for me you'd like to see me address, maybe on a future podcast. And you can visit my blog at bikejames.com if you want more great training tips and info. So anyways, I'll talk to you guys next time.